Welcome to Piercing the Veil on BBSRadio.com, a show for truth seekers and rebels. Join us every week as we obliterate willful ignorance, corruption, globalist agendas, and more. Tune in every Sunday at 5 p.m. Central, 3 p.m. Pacific, and listen carefully as we provide crucial solutions, information awareness, and unique life hacks to improve our planet. Pierce the veil, and the truth will reveal itself.
All right. Welcome back to another episode of Piercing the Veil. Greetings, world. Today is March 12th, 2017, about a quarter of the way into a new year, and things are looking great. I've got some really big announcements that I believe are going to be happening on the 15th. You guys just keep an eye out for the mainstream crap news to drop something pretty big. It'll probably be a spin story, but I do imagine that on March 15th or thereafter shortly, there will be some pretty big movement in the political realms and so on and so forth. Could end up eating my words, but we'll see what happens. Got it on pretty good information, along with another couple of researchers that are saying the same thing. And we can only hope that this globalist corruption is finally addressed by people who are in positions of so-called or perceived authority or power. Too long has it been, listeners, that for the sake of a career or reputation, that somebody that has the ability to do something about this pedophile network and the Satanist crap that's happening, they just look the other way, or they're scared, or they don't want to do it themselves, or they don't think they can do it. And, you know, that's why we have whistleblowers and people who are just doing the right thing coming out in droves right now, is because we're sick of it. It's fucking enough. It's been enough. For hundreds of years, it's been enough. All right? So, and for those of you that don't know, we'll do a quick recap. Today, just doing a little general thing. Corey's not going to be here. It's just Jordan, myself. We're doing a listener call-in show. I might do a little musical stuff, but I wanted to bring you up to speed to begin with and let you know what's happening in the next couple of days. And there's a lot coming down the pike, okay? And we have to be the people who are sharing this information, who are bringing it out, all right? So just for a recap, for anybody who doesn't know, the United States is a corporation that is running government services for the United States of America, which was the original construct that was set up, all right? And their national debt is actually the Revolutionary War debt. Revolutionary War debt was actually loaned from the Bank of England to the Bank of France, and then we got our help from the Bank of France and the French nation. So the British king actually secured his winning of the Revolutionary War financially. Right, when we ceased hostilities, there was no proclamation of a winner. You understand? We gave away all of our estate and everything to be managed by the British. That's why the war stopped. Okay, there's a lot of sacrifices made physically, but in the end, we ended up becoming a British vassal state, which in turn is a vassal of the Roman Empire still through the Vatican. All right, so that's a quick breakdown of what we're looking at in the world, and obviously we have secret societies, the Freemasons and the Illuminatis and different control groups, which are really just ankle biters when you think about the big picture. They're little tiny guys that are holding on to little pieces of power that they either created by murder and death and scarcity, or they were granted these things by certain types of entities, which are the ones that are actually controlling the global structure. And you wonder why you see so much evil in this world, people. It's not human nature. That is fucking bullshit. It's not human nature to be evil. That's crap. Get that shit out of your head. All right? It's being run on an energetic level, and the shit's stopping right now. We're passing through an area of our galaxy that is very highly charged with source energy, solar radiation, so on and so forth. And these things are forcing everybody to adapt and vibrate at a faster rate, and what people call ascension, basically. Is happening to those who are ready and not fighting it. Okay? So that's just a little bit of info about where we're at, what I wanted to get off my chest for this episode. Again, it is just me flying solo, guys. If you have any comments, questions, concerns, if you want to call up and say, Jordan, I don't agree with that, you're a dumbass, and tell me your reasons why. You have a nice debate. Or if you just had something that you want to talk about that's bothering you, you guys give us a call. Okay, the number is 888-429-5471. You're going to want to choose Station 2 or make it known that you're going to Station 2, Piercing the Veil. And we'll get you right on here. You can talk as long as you want. We're not going to censor you. You know, obviously, if another guest comes on, we'll probably have to make time for them and move on. But you have the free rein to talk about whatever you want. And this is what I'm doing, is holding space for you guys to talk about things that you might have felt self-censored about with your family or your friends. Because everybody knows, at some point, you have to make the decision. Do I care more about what's moral and right to me and speaking my truth, or do I care about what other people think? And, you know, if you care about what other people think, great. Good on you. Find a way to make that work for you. And if it starts becoming difficult, you might want to take a look at being more radically honest. Doesn't make you a lot of friends. It gets you a lot of respect. Most of that respect comes from yourself. And at the end of the day, that's really all that matters. Okay? The most healthy relationships that you can ever have are with yourself, because other relationships with people are founded on your relationship with yourself. It's intrinsic. You can't escape it. The two are tied, okay? Or tied together, I should say. So again, I'll drop the number for you guys. Give us a call. Come on in. Talk about whatever you want. 888-429-5471, Station 2. We'll get you on here and see what we can do about answering your questions or just having a lively debate. Okay. Until that time, I think I'm just going to talk a little bit about, let's talk about organic gardening and sustainable building. I think we touched on this in a past episode. I know that a lot of my friends are going vegan. I've gone vegan for about a year now. Try to go eat organic food, non-GMO, so on and so forth. That's fine. But you guys need to understand that the reliance on labels, unless you're growing it yourself, you really don't know if it's truly organic, because they could be doing organic practices, no-till and no fertilizer and so on and so forth. But at the end of the day, you've got chemtrails raining down on your fucking produce and aluminum and barium and strontium and all this stuff. And if that wasn't bad enough, I didn't know this, but I found out the other day. A lot of organic produce, especially in the Oregon and California regions, they're being watered with fucking fracking wastewater. With unconventional drilling wastewater full of toxic chemicals and arsenic and mercury and everything else stirred up from underground. Some of this shit is being used and is supposedly somehow okay to be used on organic produce. So this is the hypocrisy or the idiocy or the just plain incompetency that exists at very high levels through everything in our life. Okay? So the next time that you're like, oh, I'm organic and I'm this and I'm that, are you growing your own fucking food? And if so, is it in a greenhouse with an air filter that's not taking on aluminum and barium and strontium? Or is it outside? And if so, that's all you got. Are you consciously eating the produce that comes from that chemtrailed garden? Oh, well, you know, it's better than what's out in the regular food supply. And even though it's been chemtrailed, I'm just going to alchemize this so that it works with my body. And I'll just detox the bad stuff and take the good stuff as nutrients. You know, sometimes you got to do what you got to do. But be fucking aware. Be researching. Be always going and looking for what is really happening in the background. Who controls this company? Who set this regulation? What interests are lobbying for this type of new law? So on and so forth. Okay? These are things that just need to be very carefully researched before you make any major decisions in your life, if you're really wanting to be in line with health. Okay? There's a lot of lip service paid to health. And like last week, we talked about freedom. There's a lot of fucking lip service paid to freedom as well. Lip service basically means you talk, and you don't fucking walk the walk, or you don't address something when you see it. Okay? So a lot of lip service is paid, oh, I'm eating organic, and I'm doing this, and I'm doing that. But you're going out, you're drinking fucking GMO beer and toxic caramel colors and eating shitty fucking high fructose corn syrup and all the other different types of fucking preservatives that are in everything that you eat. And then you go out, and you're like, oh, all these restaurants are, I'm going to pick the healthiest one. Well, 9 times out of 10, having worked in the restaurant industry myself, that's just fucking Sysco Foods that's delivering those supplies. So you're really getting it from the same fucking people wherever you go. And you know, there might be some exceptions, but you don't know for sure You can't trust anything for sure unless it came from you. Okay? Oh, so Jordan, what are you saying? Well, start a fucking garden. I don't care if you have to do it in your kitchen, by your kitchen sink. Start the garden. Okay? Just start it. Get it going. Take into consideration, you probably might want to have some sort of filtered water that you're watering with. You're also going to want to not want chemtrails coming through there. So even if it's a little tiny fucking herb garden, you understand? You got to do something. All right. So that's my little kick on health and organic, so-called organic produce. You guys, definitely take a look at that. Along those lines, I would say apples are a big deal. I didn't really think about this. I used to eat apples with the skin on. I will never eat another apple with the skin on ever. Just won't happen. Won't happen. And I challenge you to take the next organic apple that you buy and boil some water on the stove and drop that sucker in that boiling water. And you will see the wax appear. The wax will start to appear and slowly dissolve. And it takes like 5 to 6 fucking minutes to get the wax all the way off that apple in boiling water. What do you think your body's trying to do? It's having pretty much the hardest time it's had with a lot of stuff. So any of these weird aches or pains or like stomach pains that you get real quick, you got to be aware that it might be something that a coating or a toxic something that's on your food. And at that point, maybe think about visualizing it exiting your body instead of just letting it happen. Okay. All right. Grab a quick thing of water there. Let's jump right into it. We were talking about food, so I'll go on a little tangent here. If you're not able to physically fly around the world and feed people who are hungry, do the little things that you can do. Everybody knows that. Everybody tries. That's doing these things. Oh, I give the guy $5 on the side of the road, or starting a food program, or whatever the case may be. What most people don't realize is that energetics can soothe physical problems just as much as a physical remedy, okay? And can do that from long distance. So every time you're filling up your belly and you're eating with both hands and lots of good food and it's organic or whatever it is, give some of that energy away. If you have enough, why don't you imagine that you're a starving poor African child or in the slum somewhere in Rio de Janeiro or something that hasn't had a meal in 30 years or 30 days or something, 30 years, 30 days, right? And imagine what it would feel like for them to finally be able, to so grateful to finally have something going into their mouths, right? And so by extension, every time you're taking a mouthful and you're chewing, you're giving that taste, that experience, that energy to the person. And they may not even know that they're receiving it other than, oh, my belly doesn't hurt as bad right now, or I don't feel as hungry, right? And then if at all possible, at some point in your life, get some fucking people together, get some money together, and go help people physically wherever you have to go. For me and for a lot of my friends like Winsong, Daisy Winsong, and Daniel Katsuk, and a lot of other local musicians and activists, DFW is the place to be. We've got a lot of needy people everywhere. Bus stops, homeless shelters just overflowing everywhere, just tent cities popping up, and it's just getting worse. It's getting worse, okay? And there's more homeless people in the city of Dallas alone in its jurisdictional limits than the entire population of Farmers Branch. Those of you that aren't from Texas, look up Dallas and Farmers Branch, those respective numbers. That's a fucking problem. When one of your entire suburbs constitutes the amount of homeless people you have in your city, you don't go the other way by cracking down on making it illegal to feed those people. You go the right way by giving them support. Okay? That's what should be done. That's what needs to be done, and there's a lot of people that, I don't know, they think, oh, I'm just going to donate this, you know, $10 to this charity and it's going to make everything better. No, the only person it makes you feel makes better is you, okay? I experienced this myself. It's like, oh, I'm giving $5 away, I want to make them feel better. No, you want to feel better, okay? And it's... okay, I'm going to break something wide open. It's not about fucking white privilege or black privilege or brown privilege or whatever, okay? It's about compassion and reciprocity. So you being able to feel the compassion on yourself as opposed to giving it to somebody. You can give it to somebody, but you should be able to feel it back on you, right? And in doing so, it makes you feel better about you having more than other people. You understand? So the inequality goes away. It makes you feel more, how do I describe this? More enticed to continue doing these things. It's like, oh, wow, this makes me feel good. I want to keep doing this. I want to keep feeling good. I want to do this. And I'm helping people at the same time. And then it makes you want to go deeper with your commitments. Like, oh, well, instead of giving this guy $5, why don't I step out of my car, give him a handshake or a hug, tell him it's going to be okay. Here's $5 and here's some food. Or make a practice to start carrying, you know, in cold weather, start carrying extra jackets and gloves and coats with you in your car at all times. Or a food box for somebody. These are little considerate things that you can do to always be prepared. And you can enjoy the energy just as much as that person. And let's be honest, not a lot of people are truly homeless. There's a lot of grifters, people that make hundreds of thousands of dollars a year, believe it or not, dressing up as a homeless person and standing on the side of the road. But for every one of those guys, there's 9 people in need out of 10. So if I get you know, bamboozled one time unknowingly and give my money to somebody that's doesn't really need it, it's making more money than me, you know, well, you know, whatever. It's worth it to me to have that loss. Okay. All right. So went on a little tangent there about giving and charity and receiving, reciprocity, things like that. I'm going to go ahead and drop the number again. I don't have any callers yet. I would like to talk to you guys. It's just me today. So the number is 888-429-5471, station 2. Call on in if you're listening. Don't be shy. Cuss all you want. There's no censorship or anything like that. Okay. All right. Guys, I think what I'm going to do is take a little musical break. I'm going to pull my headphones out. We'll play a little didgeridoo real quick, just 2 minutes or so. And we'll see if somebody wants to call in after that. So let's get started. Come on, let's go. All right, guys, sorry about that. I was setting up here. A little pause and silence is never good on the radio, but here we go anyways. Little jam. I'll throw my headphones back in. We'll keep talking with you guys here. 1 second. All right, and I'm back with. It looks like that did the trick. We have a caller on line one, Amy, I believe. So, Amy, come on. What's your question? Thanks for calling. How can I help you?
Hi, Jordan. Thanks for having me on today.
Excellent.
My yes. question.
You're welcome.
My question is about spirit guides. What are your views on spirit guides and ways to contact them if we need or if we think we need help with something or things like that?
Well, that's a good question. I would say just in the moment, it really depends on what you're really feeling and what's really going down. I've had the feeling of spirit guides coming to my aid immediately in a situation, and I've also had the feeling of sort of like, hey, you've got to handle this on your own. And it was a clear communication. It wasn't like, hey, where are you guys at? Or maybe I have to handle this on my own. It was a clear channel. It was like, hey, you got to handle this one on your own. Have you ever, Amy, have you ever experienced thoughts that sort of come up without you trying to think them? I know that sounds weird, but sort of like a coherent thing that just comes out of nowhere. It's almost as if another person's speaking in your brain.
Yeah, I have.
You ever experienced it? Okay, that's you, your higher self, or your spirit guides communicating with you. And how you discern who it really is really a matter of trust and instinct. But what I think, as far as your question is concerned, what I think about calling them in is if they're able to show up and you really truly want them to show up on a higher soul level, they'll be there for you instantly. And another twist on that is most of us are actually being spirit guides for other people when we're resting. So is this the Amy that you've called in multiple times, I think, right? And you talked earlier about how you do lucid dreaming and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, excellent. Yeah, I remember you from one of our first episodes. Okay. So essentially, when you're out there doing your travels, you may come across an experience where you're guiding souls across a place or carrying them across a river or helping them escape a house, or something's chasing you and you're helping them get away, things like that, or you're teaching them some sort of wisdom. That right there is you being a spirit guide for somebody else in some other dimension or some other time, or maybe even on this planet while you're resting and they're awake. Okay.
I've done that.
So that's what I think. So you've experienced that.
Yeah, one time it was like I was playing with this little boy that was lonely or something, and only him and his dog could see me. And we cleaned up his room, and then I remember we drew pictures together. And I don't know, it was just so happy. And I really felt like I was helping him out or something.
Huh. Okay. So what exactly did you do? Did you talk to him, or was it silent the whole time? Was there some sort of feeling of you needed to do something?
Oh, it was, we were communicating through our thoughts. So it was silent, but I could talk to him through my mind. Kind of like a spirit guide does to me or you.
That's right. Yeah, and that's exactly what's happening. Nobody questions the fact that if there's radio waves coming through the air and you have the right receiving tower or the right shaped antenna, that those radio waves will be picked up and translated down through that antenna into whatever output there is. So if you're in the correct mind state or flow or vibration to receive spontaneous thought or sudden insight or communications, like you said, from spirit guides, it will naturally just feel like something's coming up in your head. Like it's just silent, but you can hear at the same time. It's very, very awkward at first. So, can you tell us a little bit more about what you've experienced, I would say? Like, when you're out there, out of the body, besides the experience that you described, is there any time that you received or felt like you were receiving some sort of wisdom from another spirit guide while you were out of the body? I mean, I feel like that's a good question.
Yeah, I've had a lot of, I guess I would call them prophetic dreams almost, or where they were really trying to get my attention through my astral body. And I think that whenever you're sleeping, that's when you're the most open, and that's when it's easiest to contact you, I feel like, for spirits, because you guys are almost in the same realm, and your physical mind isn't changing it or perceiving it to be a certain way. But I do think all dreams are a reflection of the person. So it's almost like the inside and outside, the yes and the no. You know what I mean?
I do.
But anyway.
I do, and I also I like what you said about how you're more open. I totally believe that when you sleep or when you rest, other defenses and shields automatically activate around your body or your soul or whatever. So it allows your physical consciousness, your actual brain, the physical shields that you put up or the fight or flight response, it allows that to actually just chill out 100% in the back and just turn off. And you rest easy knowing that you're protected in the astral realm, and therefore that it, my belief is that that's one of the parts of relaxation that leads to you being more open and more, how should I say, you have a access to a wider range of radio channels, a broader spectrum at that point. So,
yeah,
well, thank you. That was excellent. Is there anything else that you wanted to tell us or any specific knowledge that you wanted to share? This show goes around the world, no censorship. I'm pretty sure that you know how we work. You listen to the show, obviously, you're calling. So just drop anything that you like, or if you had another question, we'll go from there.
I want to tell everyone that is listening or whoever this could apply to that I love you. And I'm sending you all energy to whoever needs it, for healing or whatever. And you're looked out for. And that's it.
That's really nice. Excellent. Thank you very much. We love you too.
Great.
Thank you, Amy. I appreciate that. You did a wonderful job with your questions. Really got me to thinking too. So that's the point of the show. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. We'll have you on next time. We have a listener call an episode. So, okay. All right. So we're going to jump right back into the show. Let's see. I'm just going to come up with the topic off the top of my head. Let's say physical exercise. How important is physical exercise? Well, there's been a lot of talk about in the New Age realms about how you should be stretching as opposed to weightlifting or doing this or doing that. I really truly believe, as with pretty much any domain, it's an instinctive thing. There needs to be a nice balance of everything. Okay, so getting up and getting the exercise is important, but there's also ways to exercise your body without moving. And all of these different types of things are important, okay? So let me just run down my routine. I work a lot behind a computer, sitting down. I used to be extremely physically active, boxing all the time, doing all sorts of crazy shit, climbing trees, whatnot. And I do get outside. I do sun gazing. I get a lot of vitamin D whenever I can. But for the most part, I'm sitting there behind a computer typing up a huge legal document or responding to a, you know, some sort of threat for a client or something like that. And it takes up a real large portion of my time. I end up sitting down all day. And, you know, a lot of people say that sitting down is the new cancer. It kills you quicker. And to combat that, what I do is I have a little regimen of breathing and toe wiggling and basically tapping. So if you're ever tapping your foot to a beat or something, you'll see me doing that really fast constantly. And so my body is constantly circulating, it's constantly moving no matter what I'm doing. And I don't have to be, you know, lifting weights or anything like that to feel strong and to feel healthy. And in fact, there's been a number of times in the past 30 days, past 60 days, where I've either had to catch something real quick or carry something really, really, really heavy that I normally don't carry. And I find that just approaching it energetically from a sense of, oh, the chi is what's powering my muscles and not how big they are. You understand? The chi that's flowing through my tendons attached to my bone, attached to my muscles, is really what's determining how strong of a response I can get to some degree. Obviously, if you're a 400-pound guy, you're going to knock the crap out of somebody who's 100 pounds. All right? But in essence, I can feel the power flowing through my veins. And, you know, I went and hit the heavy bag that we have on the property the other day just randomly. It's been 3 years since I've boxed. And it's still there. I hit that fucking bag and it's going, like, and I'm going straight through it, like Bruce Lee follow through punch type deal. And I don't ever work out. I sit behind a fucking computer all day. So I guess there could be something to be said about you never see a lion stretch before they pounce. I think they're just fucking energetically in alignment with being strong. Okay. So I started off with sort of the workout spin on that. But what I'm really getting at is your energy provides your strength. Your energy provides your health. Your energetic state provides your happiness. And your perception is tied into your energy. The perception of a feeling or a event or a transaction or a word or whatever it is, an idea, your perception is really what's tied in to your oversoul and your soul component. And the emotions and the ego and then everything else is like part of your brain and your physical body. So if you're perceiving that heavy weight as light, or if you perceive your muscles as strong with chi, even though they're not strong, you can lift heavy fucking shit. Case in point, a mother who doesn't have time to think about, oh, am I strong or not, and their kid's trapped under a car, those people are instantly going to be like, boom, lift the car. There's no question about it. Boom, lift the car. And in regular circumstances, they're not able to do that. And people would be like, oh, Jordan, but see, that's because their adrenaline's flooding their body at that moment, and it accesses more major groups of muscles than the finer twitch muscles, and those come together to provide more strength, and blah, 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 blah. No, that's a fucking side effect of the energy that's flowing through that lady's body right now, okay? And in the same way, you can do that in anything in your life. You get that flow to kick in, all right? And then you can lift heavy weight. So everybody that's got a burden out there right now that's listening, it's not as heavy as you think it is. Your mind is creating that weight. Yeah, okay, if you're trapped under a log somewhere, hopefully somebody's going to fucking find you. It's a 600-pound log. Yeah, the weight's heavy, okay? But if you were able to concentrate enough, you might be able to get your leg out of there without it being crushed or something. All right, so there's always an exception. It's your mind. It's your mind. It's your mind. It's not your body. All right? Okay, so we've got a caller on line one. I think this is Frank Bacon, one of our reoccurring guests. I think he heard me say last week this was going to be a call-in show, and he is very much welcome. Welcome on the show, Frank. How can we help you?
Hey, Jordan, how are you?
I'm doing good, buddy. How about yourself?
Been good. Hey, I'm jumping in at the last minute. I didn't know kind of what your topics were, but I was just listening to your mind over matter, and I always have to say, you know, that's always great advice. People don't realize how powerful their minds really are.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the realization that kicks in once you've done something so powerful that you shouldn't have been able to do in your life. And I think a lot of people have or will have this experience. There's just no going back. It's you've stretched past the container at that point. It's like, oh, I'm not my physical body. I was able to pull this off in the face of death or whatever. Okay, cool. And you start getting into energetics, and the mind over matter is just like instinctive to you at that point. Yeah. And as far as the topic, Frank, you go wherever you want, bro. You want to go Bitcoin, technology, mind over matter, your personal experience, concerns, questions, personal problems, whatever. I've just been jumping all over the place.
It's interesting because today I've actually had a very big, and you know me, I'm a blockchain guy, so I've had a big, big day of like dealing with some new people and some old people in blockchain. So it was just interesting timing about all this. I'm still a big proponent of the Steemit platform just because that's mm-hmm. a way of teaching people how to use blockchain in a way that they're not used to using blockchain because they've probably never used blockchain before. So I left LinkedIn since last time we talked in an epiphany where I just was done with LinkedIn because I feel like by the end of the year, we're going to have all the same functionality that LinkedIn has built mm-hmm. into the Steemit platform. So that's what I'm kind of holding out for. I just decided to leave LinkedIn. It's a waste. There's way too much monkey business going on there. Facebook will soon follow. Right now, people can still reach me on Facebook. But Steemit's where it's at. I mean, it's a great place for nonprofits. It's a great place to explore conscious people doing things in a different way. So that's really where I'm at right now.
Yeah, and I think you're real big with the meme activism, which is something I fucking love doing. And we're both heavy veterans of the meme wars of 2015, 16, and obviously this one's starting now. So
I love the new ones that you're making. And yeah, I'm kind of out of the wars now because I think what the meme wars did, at least in my mind, because you know I'm a science fiction character. And in one of my science fiction chapters, I basically pulled the Trumpers superpower. See, to me, like Trump got in there and then he did this really cool magic trick where he took the oath and then he turned around and he gave this great speech where he said very simply, we are taking the power from Washington and giving it back to you, the people. And that's it. That's done. We're done. I don't need any more. He said it, so I'm taking him at his word. The power is not in Washington. One of the three great states that needs to fall, Washington, D.C., the Vatican, and London. So that's our fight here.
And Israel.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, I still think that's kind of a strong one, too. But to see D.C. coming down the way it is, you know, Vault 7, cracking open, showing everybody the dirty laundry of the CIA. All this is amazing.
Oh, Michael Hastings and Paul Walker weren't murdered by car crashes that were engineered by the CIA. No, that never happened. No. Oh, wait, they've got technology? Ding!
Tell them the fact that we can prove it. And watching the cognitive dissonance that's still going on, where the news reporters are still gaslighting, it's like, These are allegations. Like, no, this is the truth. He was being bugged. It's not technically wiretapping.
Should Trump apologize? No, yeah. Get the fuck out of here. Come on, guys.
No, he should be calling a drone strike.
Since we're jumping into politics from Bitcoin now, I got something to say shit's not happening quick enough for me. That's what I got to say. And number two, Trump, where the fuck are you on fucking chemtrails? Where the fuck are you, man? Where the fuck are you?
We got to take what we can get at times, and then at other times we got to keep the trumpets going. But like now, the big thing I saw was getting Kennedy involved in the vaccination stuff. I think that is a huge thing. The fact that 2,500 pedophiles are in jail right now, since the beginning of the year. So there are some wins coming.
I get it. Yes, I supported him from the beginning before anybody even heard that he was about to blow up when he's still announcing in the primaries.
Yeah, you were tuned in late. You were tuned in way early.
But here's the thing, Frank. Here's the problem. He is not as aware as he needs to be about all the CFR motherfuckers that are in his cabinet. If you look at his cabinet, everybody that was appointed, everybody's like, Trump appointed this, Trump appointed that. No. Trump has got so much fucking shit going on right now, and he's being pulled in so many different directions, and he's trying to not let on to what he's about to do, and he's trying to stay secret and keep his communications private, which is fucking struggling right now. The people that are doing his appointments are his fucking staff and his transition team, and these motherfuckers are the ones that have been approached and bought out.
Yeah, they're the ones that got Michael Flynn cast out. Not that I don't really care one way or the other about this stuff, but you're absolutely right. But here's the thing. We're still giving way too much value to the power of D.C. Let's just go right back to what he said in his opening inauguration speech. We're taking power from Washington, giving it back to you, the people. Now it's up to us. I'm not waiting around for this man with the cool hair to do any more for me. He's already done it for me. I do not stand with Washington D.C. as a conscript. I do not belong to them. I don't have. They have no authority over me. And it was given in words on January 20th. He said, we're taking power from Washington, D.C. and giving it back to you, the people. Now, people might say, well, yeah, that was just a speech. It's like, no, man, words have power. He said it. It was at a ceremony. It's been done. That's it. Now it's up to us.
In the same way, when he was talking to the CIA the first time and he was in the CIA building and he made the Masonic reference to, we got to get all these pillars out of here. Listen. We got to get all these pillars out of here.
Yeah.
That's Pillars of Solomon, Pillars of Salt. All those things are described in the Freemason origin story. So here's the thing, man. This is what really needs to happen. Those motherfuckers need to get my ass on the transition team so I can be like, nationalize the fucking Federal Reserve, go to all the banks, start an investigation, audit those bitches. You're going to find criminality the instant you do that. Shut them all down under some sort of executive order for RICO statute or international crimes. Yep. Repatriate all that money. Institute a universal basic income for every single United States citizen. Patch that in through the welfare system so it's already functional and people are already using it. And then switch to Bitcoin. By doing that, stop the fucking chemtrails, hunt down these motherfuckers that are puppets for these energetic entities that have been controlling this fucking planet for hundreds of thousands of years. Hunt those motherfuckers down with the fucking technology that we have in the secret space programs. It's there. We know it's there. We don't want partial disclosure. We want fucking full disclosure. We don't want your goddamn 50s alien tech that you guys roll out over the next 50 to 100 years so you can try to stay in power, you fucking assholes. Fuck you, Rothschilds. Yeah. Fuck you, CIA. Fuck all of you motherfuckers. You kiss my fucking ass.
Righteous indignation. And that's how I feel. I love it. And this is
put me in there, dude. I'll make some fucking changes. If I don't get assassinated first, and even if I do, then, whatever.
You're on the right track because, there's a guy that I've worked with before. I'll mention him. I've mentioned him before. And Robert David Steele. And that guy is all over the social media and all over the Reddits and things like that, trying to get Yeah, trying to get on the Trump transition team because he's trying to, you know, point out, like, he's ex-CIA, the open source general of the world. The guy's brilliant. He's balls of steel, right? So what I saw with him, I'm like, why would you want to go work for the D.C. syndicate? Why not just co-opt the D.C. syndicate? Open source is already, de facto, more powerful.
Thank you.
And the CIA is already falling apart. They don't have an edge on us anymore. So dispense with the edge, dispense with Washington. There's no transition team. Let him play politics all he wants up there. It's all he wanted to do. It's just a big ceremony. It's just a big game, but there's no real power in that. The power has been transferred to us, where he said very clearly, from Washington to you, the people. And that means we're responsible for our own shit now. So let's go create community. My biggest, my game plan, and I've been on this game plan for a big, big long time, so I'll give you a little bit more from the game plan, and that is, we're taking over a county. We're getting a county somewhere. I'm in the Midwest. Colorado is where I focus, but there's hundreds of them. There are hundreds of these ideas, intentional communities. I'm focusing on the big nodes, the counties, because that's the county seat. That's where law is, that air gap between us and these fictitious entities that the state puts up, these corpses, these corporations. So we run a county as a cooperative, not as a corporation, because they're always filed as township. Usually filed as townships, right? You know, corporations. But they can just as easily be filed as cooperatives. So we take over a county. We, through that county process, because now we have a court, so if anybody really needs to go through all that mumbo-jumbo, we got the court, okay? We own it. Okay? And we have a sheriff, and if anybody wants to go through that mumbo-jumbo, they go to the sheriff. He can get you, you know, a couple of guys that will beat some people with sticks if they're stealing your property, whatever. So we take over a county, and then we cooperatively organize that county to be a 21st century non-illusionary place. In other words, we grow our own food, we grow our own cannabis, we grow our own medical stuff. You know, we build our own houses, we build our own – everything is sustainable.
Real value, substance, real not form, value. Not fiction.
Tie it back into a blockchain project where that value can stay out of the banks, out of the other squanderers out there, out of the speculators, out of those bankers. You keep it locked into a commonwealth. So everybody participating can come and go as they like voluntarily. It's like, well, who's in charge here? Who's voting? You're letting illegal aliens vote. We let anybody vote who's a participant, okay? It's about participation and one vote, one person. And these are the way the votes are structured. And this is where, you know, this is how we're 21st century hominids, Jordan. Without government.
Frank, this is our plan too. My wife, Amy, and I are looking for there's another Amy. It's funny how names show up like back to back in the universe. But essentially, we're looking for a piece of land to do the same thing and do high technology and stuff like that. I think what we're going to have to do is, because we got Daryl on the line right behind you, I think what we're going to have to do is bring you back on and a couple other people and just have a whole fucking show about sustainability and how we would incorporate the blockchain into it. I know last year we had you on and we did sustainable communities and blockchain, but I think that we need to really drill down into the specifics. So if you're willing to do that, you're available.
We'll see how much further.
Does that sound good?
I'm in 1 year. Yeah, I mean, in 1 year, I'm 10 years ahead of the game now.
Good.
I mean, 1 year in this singularity is worth 10 years in the old. You know what I mean? So we've come a long ways. I'd love to revisit this. Absolutely.
Cool. Well, so I will get in contact with you somehow after the show, and we'll schedule that for the next week or a week afterwards, and we'll go from there. Okay.
Sure. And letting it out, man. Your righteous indignation is fuel for the fire. You're right. Fuck the CIA. And you know what? Fuck DC. Sorry.
Exactly.
No offense to ladies
and gentlemen.
But, you know.
Yes, I was going to say, ladies and gentlemen, Frank Bacon taking the cake again. You want to drop a line where they can find you on Steemit, your user profile.
Yeah, Steemit at Frank Bacon. You do steemit.com/. The at sign Frank Bacon, and it's a cryptographic novel, and it's my science fiction up there for anybody to read and participate in, and it's my publishing platform. So I recommend all writers and readers to come to see it.
Thank you for coming on the show, Frank. It's always a pleasure to have you. We'll have you back soon.
Ditto, my friend. Always talking to you.
Excellent. And then to the CIA, the white hats, you guys, the factions of you guys that are doing the right thing, you're working in silence so you don't get assassinated while you're building dossiers on the rest of these motherfuckers that are blackmailing all the other politicians with their pedophile parties. You guys that are doing it right and looking at these motherfuckers, I didn't mean fuck you. Continue doing what you're doing. Everybody else, go fuck yourself. All right. With no further ado, let's bring Daryl in. Daryl, I think you've this is Daryl Sprout. It's Sprout. Hey, Daryl, what's up, man?
I feel like I didn't bring enough opinion to the table.
Well, lay it on us. Welcome to the show. What do you want to do? Comment, question, story, a little bit of anything? Just drop it on us.
Well, I mean, obviously, I know far, far more about the system and how it's slanted against us and what you've got to say, having to say, because...
Daryl, sorry to cut you off. Are you on speakers? We're having a hard time hearing you. No, you're still breaking up. You may want to try calling back, possibly. We got a little bit of time, so I'll just go into something. You call back, and I'll let them know when you're back. Give that a try. Sorry, listeners. Sometimes we have people calling from all over the place, so... All right. Well, then, while we wait for Daryl to call back or get his sound fixed, we will just talk about, let's see, meditation. How about that? So meditation is a tricky thing for me. I don't get a lot of silence in my life. There's not a lot of me time, if you will. And I think that rings true for a lot of busy people, people nowadays that are caught up in social interactions and so on and so forth. It just being aware of the breath in itself is sort of like a meditation, and I can feel me drawing energy through my back, out my chest, up through my head, my neck, and down my feet every time I'm aware of my breath. So I'm sitting here breathing, blah, 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 whatever, breathing, natural, unaware, unconscious, and the moment that I actually focus on my breath, I can actually feel the energy coming through, okay? And just that was just a quick trip down meditation lane, but you guys try it. Be aware of your breath. Take time, even if you're busy, to focus on your breathing. Okay? You might be surprised what you find. All right, Daryl, welcome back on. Sorry we had to do that to you, buddy. Let's see if we can hear you now.
Is this any better?
Oh, my God. So much better. I think everybody appreciates that.
I've always found it incredibly insidious that iPhones make background noise louder than foreground noise.
Oh, who knows what's going on with those fucking guys. I've never had an iPhone. I'll never own one either. So what do you got for us today? You want to just talk about a certain topic or tell a story or recap something? What are your plans?
There's no question, but what I wouldn't have known half of what I do about wordsmithing and properly stating things when it came to dealing with authority. And, of course, since some of it went completely south, that gave me immensely more insight into the workings of all that. And while it was kind of hard on me, goodness knows that's valuable knowledge. I wouldn't trade it for anything.
Yeah, I agree. I wouldn't go back to a normal lemming, bend over and let the state fuck me in the ass life. I'd never go back to that. It's just not going to happen. I've been doing this for way, way, way too fucking long. Daryl, even to the point that some of my processes and techniques that I've been trying to keep safe and secret, like the cross out and the return, I talked about that on my radio show, but I never actually showed a picture of it. That stuff's starting to break out into the Facebook community. You know what I mean? So
really?
It's like, yeah, consciousness is raising. People are getting a handle on their life in some fashion. But a lot of people are still suffering the Freeman Patriot delusions. Like, oh, this is just going to work. The government has to recognize me and my status, and they have to do this.
Oh, absolutely.
I'll tell you from firsthand personal experience, and you can too, they don't have to do shit.
No.
They only have to, only have to do what's going to keep their ass out of jail. And if you can't show them that they're about to go to jail or be in trouble for what they're doing, you're probably not going to get them to stop.
I tell you, not only, and it's funny because this is part of my dialogue now if I ever have to do it again. I mean, number one, I understand that you're not required to tell me the truth, officer. And in fact, given my interaction with some of your colleagues, I'm pretty convinced you're taught not to. So that's since right. I know that you're not on my side, let's proceed from there since we understand each other.
Yeah, and you can take it any way you want. And the main thing that people don't realize, it's like it's not a magic fucking set of words or a magic fucking document. There is no fucking piece of paper that will save you in a situation where dealing with the courts or a criminal charge or police or whatever. It is all your energy and the way you talk and the way you assess the situation. Are you awake enough to realize that that cop is way overweight, he's breathing really heavy, he's probably got, you know, he's fucking angry all the time, he's probably got a shitty relationship at home, and he's wearing the hatred on his face, and you can see it with his labored, fat breathing, right? No, not all cops are fat, but I tell you what, a lot of those motherfuckers that want to be dicks are fat assholes. Okay, and that typically just means, hey, I'm close to my – okay, again, not all police officers, but typically it means I'm close to getting my fucking pension. I don't really care. My boss has pretty much trained me to shoot on sight, so I know that I can get away with murdering your fucking ass and still get my pension 2 years later and retire fat and happy, literally. So whatever, literally. You free man motherfucker, I'm just going to pull my gun on you. Shit like that happens. And if you aren't able to see that coming or analyze that before the whole interaction starts, then you got a problem. And so that's really what – when we worked together, Daryl, and the stuff that you went through that you're talking about today on the air – when we worked together, right. That was my main focus for you, is be able to figure out who that person is, why they're acting this way, and what they intend to do, and where they're going with their speech, or their actions, or their body language even. So for those of you that don't know, and I'll let you describe this a little bit, Daryl, for the listeners that haven't heard about this, Daryl Sprout lives here in, with us in DFW, and he had a run-in a while back on an issue that he had already taken care of. The police tried to harass him at his, what was it, in your driveway, I believe, right when you got home. You got pulled over. Some guy's like, oh, you got warrants. There's no way this goes down without you going to jail. You called me on the phone, walked you through it a little bit. You said and did the body language and did everything right. They they called an ambulance, checked you out in the ambulance, and you got out of the ambulance, and everybody was fucking gone. Right? You would talk to the supervisor and say, oh, well, it's just a Class B misdemeanor warrant. So we're going to let you go. We're just going to let you go.
As if they wouldn't.
And,
yes.
Yeah. And yes. Yeah, so that's essentially what happened to you, right?
Yes. And I'll never forget the look on that. The last cop left, the one who actually originally pulled me over, the look on his face when he was the only one left and everybody else had gone. And he had been told to tell me that his supervisor said, we're not going to take you because it's only a Class B. Which is just like one of the silliest things a cop could say. But I swear I could see it in his eyes. A look that said, well played. I've never seen anything like that before. And
I'm familiar with that look.
Yes.
What just happened to me?
Well, and part of it is the simple ability to rise above the programming, because it was something you said, that the blue and red lights flashing like that, mm-hmm. we're programmed to be completely in a fight or flight state when we see that. And
the state, go the ahead, yes. Exactly.
Excuse me?
I was saying, go ahead, yes.
Yeah, well, the very fact that I have now been through a situation where the blue and white lights and, I mean, the blue and red lights and more of them came and more people and people standing around me and some of them got their hands on their weapons and all that sort of thing. And I not only never escalated emotionally, but I never let it get through to me. You know what I mean? I stood gently on what I knew was true. And I was pretty much figuring I was going away, but I wasn't going to go away without – I was not going to just roll over at any point. In fact, I made it very clear that the only person who was going to touch me was the guy driving the ambulance. And sure enough, he wasn't going to touch me until I told him to. I said, could you pick up that foot, please? That leg is, you know, is the bad one. And then he locked my van for me. You know? So but – it's amazing. It's kind of like a phobia that I got a over a long time ago. You know, I get people over the phobia of snakes. And there was this time when I realized, when a friend of mine told me that wasps were beneficial, that my phobia of them was irrational, and I was a hypocrite if I was going to tell people to get over their learned fear of snakes if I couldn't get over my learned fear of wasps. And I had a good reason for the fear. I mean, when I was a kid, I had disrupted a nest and got nailed a bunch of times. But when I decided it made me a hypocrite if I didn't face my fear, sure enough, it took me only, I don't know, a few weeks to completely get over it. A wasp could land on my shoulder, and I didn't do the ninja dance, you know? And the fact was that as soon as I overcame that, a bunch of other things that just automatically caused the heebie-jeebies no longer created that immediate...
That's right.
You know, sometimes when you you find yourself about to be in an escalated fight because somebody escalates it, to make it a big emotional thing, and I'm about to, you know, kick your butt or whatever. If you don't sign on to that, if you don't let your side escalate, and you simply look at things for what they actually are, and yeah, this guy is in this position because of what his life is like and all that sort of stuff, you step back enough to see the bigger picture. It's amazing how much it diffuses things like a programmed fear of red and blue lights. Yeah.
You have all the power. And that's, you know, any time that you feel powerless, you are living a lie. Again, like I said, the universe is everything, something, and nothing. So a person, a child soldier over there being assassinated or killed, or little children in Haiti that don't have food or water. Okay, yeah, you're not living a lie. I get it. But to some extent, you still have your power, right? You have the power of perception, the power of being grateful, the power of being happy and dying your own person and not beholden to anybody. Leaving this world and being like, okay, I learned a valuable lesson. I transitioned this time. And when I look back, I saw that I suffered a lot. But, you know, you got out of it. You left. You can do what you want now. So it's all perception. And by using the perception in the moment, it's a learned skill. And you learn to perceive something that, like you said, used to give you the heebie-jeebies as a non-threat. Or you learn to perceive the situation where something escalates as an opportunity to just stand firmly in place and stay rooted and not take the steps up to escalation along with everybody else. So I imagine it like this. You're in the middle of a school hall or a college hall or whatever, and the stairs go up, and then there's a platform, they go up again. You're standing on the platform, and there's just people streaming and milling past you with backpacks and going up the stairs, you know, like little fucking good robots and lemmings, and you're just standing there not moving. That is the picture that comes into my head when I'm dealing with shit like this up against a court or a judge or a police officer. And like you said, the look on his face is like, oh my God, and they didn't touch you, and they're the ones who supposedly have all the authority and the power and the bulletproof vests and the guns. Those guys are just as vulnerable, if not more, than you, because they know somewhere deep down they shouldn't be doing what they're fucking doing. Oh, somebody's raping a girl and they stop the rapist. And they stop the – listen, somebody's raping a girl. They stop the rapist. You're doing what you need to be doing. You're doing what you fucking signed up for. Somebody's toking up a fucking bowl or doing something like that in their car and you bust out their window and drag them away and ruin their fucking life. You're not doing what you fucking signed up for, and you're not doing something right. There's a difference. So when that situation comes up, Daryl, I've had fucking guys that are in body armor grabbing themselves like and shrinking away from what I'm saying. And even the other day, I went to go help somebody save their fucking house on a property tax sale that shouldn't have been happening because we discharged it in bankruptcy a year before. And then we did the temporary restraining order and everything properly. Everybody that I showed it to, the attorneys checked it out. Yeah, that's great. You know, it looks good. Perfect. I's dotted, T's crossed, all that shit. Perfect. The law says that the minute that tiara goes in, the court has to hear it. Guess what happened? We get there Friday, 2:30, as soon as we can get there. The sale's on the next Tuesday after that. We put the petition in. They go take it to the judge. The clerk comes back. Yes, the judge isn't going to hear it today. Wait a second. What did you say? And so we're like, we made a big stink. Like, no, the law says this and that. And we weren't yelling. We're very calm, very rational, whatever. We go to – they're like, well, you're welcome to wait, but they're not going to hear it. So I say, I got something for your ass. You wait for me. I'll be right back. that I sat down and I started writing out something instantly, like a motion for reconsideration. On this day, we came to have a TRO. This civil rules procedure says it should be heard on this immediate, blah, blah, blah. And the court or somebody abused their discretion by failing to hear it according to the laws. And this is an appealable error. And if it's going to cause us irreparable harm, yada, 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 this is uncalled for. We're asking you to reconsider. I couldn't get a quarter of the way through that handwritten motion or whatever before a supervisor pops out and she's like, "Oh, yes, I just wanted to help you guys and just make sure that we help you understand that the judge isn't going to hear it today," or blah, 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 and la, 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 whatever. Within 10 seconds, Daryl and listeners, within 10 seconds of her fucking coming out, we're on the third floor of the federal court, mind you. All the police are on the bottom floor. Within 20 seconds of her starting to talk after she came out and popped out, five police officers show up, an armed security guard, and three fucking bailiffs, all surrounding and filling the room. And I'm in the middle of telling this fucking lady off. She's like, "Sir, we are very busy. We're very busy." And I'm like, "I know you're busy. So are we. And guess what? The TRO comes before all the other busy petitions. It's supposed to be heard first." And this lady literally lies to me. "There's so many other people in front of you with TROs that have to be considered." And I essentially said something to this fic. I said, "In the time that you heard that we were having an issue with our TRO to the time that you came out here was less than a minute. And I know I didn't see you out here on your computer. So there is no possible way that you could know whether or not there's TROs in front of us. And even if that was true, even assuming arguendo is what I told her, even for the sake of argument, just for the sake of argument, let's say you're not lying out of your ass right now. Even if it was true, those fucking people are just filing for themselves. We've got a whole fucking community, six people plus, that are serving the surrounding community on this land, that are giving donations, that are providing food, that are living off this land, pregnant people here and all sorts of other stuff. People come by once or twice a day to pick up resources. All of these people will be irreparably harmed and booted off their land if you guys let this go through." And I said, "This is what you," and the bailiffs came in during that time, and I turned my whole body and I looked straight at the bailiffs, and I said, as I'm still talking to this lady, I'm like disrespecting her by not talking to her, but I'm looking at the bailiffs and I go like this, "Daryl and listeners, I say this. And you guys should be ashamed of yourselves for coming up here like we're some sort of violent people when all we're trying to do is get you guys to do your jobs and follow the law. We were sitting here peacefully putting in a piece of paper as we are allowed to do in the open and free access of the courts, and you guys come up here swarming like we're threatening somebody and you're about to hurt us. How does that make us feel as people that need your help? This is dishonorable, it's disrespectful, and we are 100% justified, more than justified, in saying what we're doing, doing what we're doing and holding you accountable and taking you to task. And obviously, if you have one scruple, one iota of personal integrity in your profession, then you will go right back there and you will do what you can to get this heard on Monday, since it's not going to be heard today." And it was just, and the whole time, guys, my client who's there is fucking bawling her eyes out. And it's just soulless, blank, dead, soulless stare from these people, except for the bailiffs. When I turned my body and I addressed the bailiffs and told them, "We are justified in doing this. There's no reason that you guys should be up here," they fucking took a seat. The one guy leans up against the wall. The other guy sats down. He's like, "Oh, the guy's right." Oh, whoa, sats down. You know, and I said something else. He's like, "Yeah, that's right." I got the fucking bailiffs on my side against the supervisor of the court. So the point of my story, however heated it may have been, and thank you for listening, Daryl, and everybody else, the point of my story is, at any given time, you have the power. Even if they're swarming you for doing something that you're allowed to do or just fucking sitting there, they showed up, but we're just sitting there. So here's the dishonorable part. For that lady to fucking come out and pretend like she's there to fucking help us, when they had already called the officers, there is no way within 20 seconds of her coming out that somehow they could have magically been alerted and then made their way up three flights of stairs or the fucking slow elevator in the federal court. And then all of a sudden magically popped in like, "What's the problem?"
Oh, yeah.
They were called before that lady even came out. And, you know, one of the guys, there's like, do you guys need, we've got backup armed guards on the way through his walkie-talkie. And the guy's like, no, cancel that. We're good. Like, that's not, he's like, cancel that as I'm talking. So your story reminded me that no matter how fucked up it is, no matter even if these people are not following their own fucking laws, you still have the ability to make a record. You still have the ability to declare your protest, your objection, to set things straight, to hold those fucking assholes accountable for their just soulless, dead response, non-caring, non-compassionate. Oh, I'm a fucking zombie. Oh, I'm just going to go back and eat my fucking potato chips and play Angry Birds on my phone while all these people lose their fucking houses, or these rape victims from their boyfriend can't get TROs because we don't fucking do our jobs, or whatever the case may be. So,
et cetera.
Again, yeah. That's my off my soapbox now. So we're almost done with the show. Is there anything that you want to – actually, I think we ran a little bit over, so – is there a couple words you want to wrap up with before I close the show, Daryl? And again, thank you for being here. I appreciate that.
Yeah, I really just want to say thank you. I mean, this understanding is something that I would have gone through more than what I went through to accomplish and acquire had I known.
Excellent.
So, yeah, and that's saying a lot.
You grabbed your ball. You grabbed your balls. You knew what needed to be done, and you did it. Did you not?
I did.
And even when you got fucked and you were in the worst place, you still grabbed your balls, you stood strong, and you got up.
Yep.
Okay, that's the point of the show today, besides the listener call-ins and the me just going all over the place with these random topics in between. The point of the show is taking back your power. So thank you for highlighting that at the end of the show. I appreciate that.
Well done.
Cool. We'll see you next time.
Right,
Daryl Sprout, everybody. Daryl Sprout, thank you very much. Local musician, DFW, and snake handling comedian magician, the only person in the world to do that. And then we previous to that, we had Frank Bacon. And then previous to that, we had a caller that's called in before, Amy, which is a name that's dear to my heart. I love that name. essentially, we're just going to close out the show here. Much thanks to the listeners for handling the, you know, the back and forth and between the call-ins and things like that. If you listen long term, you pretty much know to expect the unexpected. Thank you very much to our producers as well. These guys don't get a lot of credit. BBSradio.com is where you should go if you're thinking about opening up your own show, if you want to be a guest on somebody else's show. They're doing it right. They're doing it big. They're doing what they can. They're under a lot of attack right now and handling it well. And anytime somebody attacks you, it means you're doing something right. So kudos to them. Kudos to us. We get attacked all the time. And hello to all my Facebook Steam It friends and listeners. Thank you so much around the world. We're going to close this show out. Until next time, pierce the veil, and the truth will reveal itself. Thank you very much.